On March 6, 2007, Caleb Kamokana was found at the bottom of the pool at our home. No one knew he had gone outside to play. It is known that he was not breathing for at least 40 minutes. The doctors told Brandon at the ER that he was dead. Brandon did not believe it and rushed to his side where he prayed and called out to God. Soon after, the paramedics said, "We've got a pulse."
They were still trying to revive him from the moment we left here all the way to the ER. A doctor came in. She ended up telling me, "I'm sorry, sir, but your son is gone." I said, "No, I won't accept that." So I ran out into the trauma room where he was, where they were still trying to revive him. He was laying there, lifeless. I started to pray into his ear. I asked God to bring him back. I said, only you can do it. Only you can bring him back. After I finished my prayer, I said in Jesus' name, amen. After that, the paramedics that were at his side said he has a pulse. Everyone in the ER paused for a minute. They kind of was like, make sure. So the other paramedic said, "Are you sure?" He said, "Yeah, he has a pulse." She showed up shortly after and they got him prepped and ready and rolled him up to the ICU. They told us, "Well, he's not going to make it probably past the night." Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. And that's what we have to be reminded, mm-hmm. what our faith has to be. We prayed, and so many people around the world were praying for him.
One person, for instance, saw a sticker, because we have bumper stickers, that says "Pray for Caleb," and it says his blog site. So somebody saw it. And so when they got home, they went on his website and they read his story, and so they commented saying that, you know, his story really touched them and that they're praying for him.
His EEGs did show brain activity. Slowly but surely, the medication started to come off. One pump at a time, one medication at a time. The doctors told us his lungs and his organs are starting to make their recovery. When we had our big meeting for discharge, one of the doctors said, "You know, he's proven us wrong. We didn't expect you guys to leave the ICU, but he's proven us wrong."
It was a church network that everybody was just sending out prayer requests, and that is a huge, huge part. Yeah, we can't do it alone. We need God, but I think we have like the body of Christ to just help us along every day, and without that, I don't think we could make it through. You know, you need that support.
How far will you go with your faith? Will you turn back? Or will you wait patiently? Even though our son's still recovering, every day is a different day. Every day something new.
That night was the biggest test of faith that we have ever faced, and we had no idea it was just beginning. We wanted God to heal Caleb right away. At first, we questioned God, asking, "Why did this happen to Caleb? Why us? How could you do this to me, to my son? I was in Bible study, studying your word, and you let this happen?" My heart ached as I watched my son fighting for his life, and I fell on my knees in prayer. This is my husband, Brandon, my sisters, and this is our son, Caleb.
When I prayed for Caleb in the ER after the doctors pronounced him dead, it was the first time in my life I had no doubt in my faith and that God would spare his life. We lifted him up to God and said, "He's yours. Whatever you have planned for him, we know it's for your greater purpose." He prepared us for that day. He knew we would be able to handle it because we had him on our side.
Our family and friends overwhelmed us with love and support, and our family has grown so close together and even closer to the Lord. When Caleb was in the ICU, the waiting room at Kapi'olani Hospital was constantly overflowing with family and friends. It became a praise and worship center where we would all sing and praise God. Caleb's cousin stayed at his bedside singing Jesus Loves Me, which he used to sing very often. Through the hardest times, we joined together and praised God, thanking him for sparing Caleb's life and for each major hurdle that Caleb overcame. I think our faith in the Lord was only at the very early stages in our walk with him before March 6. I was just beginning to really get involved with church and joined Women in the Word for the first time. My life was finally going in the right direction, and I started to see the Lord working in me and my family's life.
Before Caleb's accident, I wasn't attending church regularly with my family. I believed in God. I knew where I should be. I knew where my faith should be. But things I thought were important to me steered me away from that. Through Caleb's journey, we have found the power of prayer. And our faith has grown so quickly. There are only two ways to go when you hit rock bottom. You can either choose to turn away from God, or you can choose to embrace his love and mercy and believe and trust in him.
If God had healed Caleb in an instant, we wouldn't be where we are today. Our faith wouldn't have grown as much as it has. We have learned and gained so much in our journey with Caleb, and it has only been 3 months. We can't begin to imagine what else God has in store for Caleb's little life as well as ours. God is preparing all our hearts for something bigger, and we are seeing God's miracle being done every day in Caleb. We just have to believe and have faith, and God will heal him one day. Even though the journey may be long, we are prepared. Every day is a trial for us, but we must keep our faith. God can do anything if we just believe.
Being a faithful servant of the Lord is so rewarding. Choosing to follow God is the most important decision you can make. And as you walk with him, you will see that it was the best choice you ever made. God bless you, and please help us in praying for Caleb every day. Thank you.
When your faith ain't moving mountains, you're not sure what you believe. When pain and disappointment has brought you to your knees. When you've lost hope and never won, and fear is lingering, just remember this one thing. No other name can set you free. No other can bring you victory. No other can set beside you closer than a brother. It's Jesus. So weary.
Wow. You may be seated. In fact, those little girls up front are Caleb's cousins. And you see that we're wearing this blue band. Actually, it says pray for Caleb on it to remind us as a church family to pray for that little boy. In fact, we purchased one for all of you. You can grab one on the outside. There's also a place for a donation if you'd like to place it in there, because the medical costs of this is staggering. We want to help that family. So this will remind us also to pray for Caleb, because that's the most important part, so that God bring everything back together. And you know, a lot of times we don't understand what is coming up tomorrow. We have no idea. But God knows, and He's preparing us today for what He knows we will be facing tomorrow. And today we want to talk about getting beyond what we believe into how we live, where the Lordship of Christ is seen in reality. You heard Brandon say, I believed in God, but I didn't walk with Him. And sometimes these things come into our life and all of a sudden we're brought to the realization that if Jesus isn't Lord, if He's just a religion, if He's just something that we sort of believe in but we don't live, we're going to live a life of incongruency. It'll be inconsistent. We won't have the faith necessary when our future becomes our now. And so we want to move beyond religion, beyond what we believe, because 80% of America believes in God. They believe there's a God out there, but we are a nation spiraling downward in our morality and in the way that we live. And so we've got to get beyond belief. In the last week alone, did you know, last week, 143 people made decisions for Christ. Isn't that great? 143 just this last weekend. But we need to now move beyond that into how we live. Otherwise, we can be people who say that we're Christians, but we'll be pretty confused still. And we are going to join a pretty confused group of people out there that really have no idea what's going on. In fact, I think my favorite Dear Abby story in the newspaper column goes like this. It's just my favorite of all time. It says this. Listen to how sometimes we're pretty confused. It says this. Dear Abby, I am confused, he writes. You see, I'm married to one woman, but I'm living with another woman. But that's not my main problem. I'm actually in love with a third woman. Please give me your advice as what I should do. P.S. By the way, don't give me any of that morality stuff that you believe in. So she writes back, Dear Confused, the only thing that separates us from animals is morality. So please write to a veterinarian. I just think that's great. You know, sometimes we want help, but we don't want anybody to change us. We want God to bail us out, but don't improve me. Don't make me change anything. Sometimes we see God as an added component to our already in place stereo system, where God, you just come and make my sound better. Make me sound better. Give me a little bit more boost on the subwoofer side. God, come on into my life and give me a bit more of the clean highs. And we use God like a component in our stereo system, but really the song is wrong. And God doesn't come into our life just as a component to our stereo system. He might want to change the song. He might want to give us a whole new song. But if we just believe in God and make Him a religion, then we just add Him a little bit to give us boost and power. But the Lord says, no, I want to transform you and take over your life and change you into the person that I've created you to be from the beginning. So there's got to be something that moves beyond God as a religion to Lordship of Christ, where He becomes Lord. He takes over the steering wheel. Some time ago when I was pastoring in Hilo, I'd been now a Christian for about 20 years when this guy just received the Lord, and he came up to me and he said, hey, Wayne, I want you to come to my house and visit because I have set up a prayer room. I said, a prayer room? I was a pastor and I didn't have a prayer room. And this guy's a Christian for a week and he's got a prayer room. So I thought, I got to go and see this guy's house. So I went to his house the following week. And sure enough, he took me up this flight of stairs and he opened the door and there was a kneeler right there, like a Catholic kneeler. And I thought, wow, this guy is really devoted. And then there was a shelf right there, and prominently displayed right in front of that kneeler was this big 8x10 picture of Christ. And I thought, oh, that's cool. But right next to it was one of Buddha, the next Krishna, over here Confucius, and the Virgin Mary. And I thought, this guy's got all the bases covered. It looked like a divine vending machine. You just pull whatever handle you need for whatever you wanted. And I thought, we got a problem here. We got a problem. But I thought, you know, isn't that like a lot of us? We might not do it physically like that, but in our hearts, we do. Because we've got so many things sort of running our lives. And if God can help, we'll ask God. If He can't, we'll get it from somewhere else. But you see, God is saying, I want to give you a confidence in life, a confidence in your future, a confidence that whatever comes your way, you know that God has our best at heart and He'll walk us through because of the Lordship of Christ. Not what we believe or just a religion. No, because of the Lordship of Christ. Because He doesn't cause us to be immune from problems. He wasn't when He came to the earth. Mm-mm. But He said, I'll be your Lord and I'll help you to rise above every single one of those. And I will give you a confidence so that you know that you know that you know. Where's that confidence come from? Well, one of the sources is He writes it in the Scriptures. And let's read what it says here out of 1 John, right at the top of our notes. Would you read it with me? Go. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Yep. He says, now these things are going to be written to those of you who what? Who believe. Why? So that you can move forward into a confidence, not a religion, a confidence in your daily walk. We want to talk about moving beyond belief and into the Lordship of Christ every single day, getting beyond belief. Now you say, well, if we read this, will we all get there? You know, we can be Christians, but still be a long way from walking with Christ as Lord. I was talking with Sean Hannity, who's with Hannity and Combs. Hannity is a conservative, Combs is a liberal. And Sean was debating Al Sharpton, who is a reverend, but he leans to the left a lot. And so it was kind of an interesting debate. It was on television. And Sean said this to him, said, now, do you believe that God is the creator of the universe? And Reverend Al Sharpton said, yes. Now, do you believe that Jesus Christ came to redeem mankind? And Reverend Al Sharpton said, yes. So do you believe that we are God's kids and that there is a heaven and a hell? And Sharpton said, yes. Do you believe that we are, all mankind are created equal? And Reverend Al Sharpton said, yes. So then Sean Hannity said, well, tell me now, how can we agree on those things but disagree on everything else? You know, you can be still people who believe in God but have a complete disagreement and discord and confusion until we go beyond belief and into lifestyle where Jesus is Lord, not just religion, but Lord. We say, where do we start? There's some prerequisites that'll give us that kind of confidence that every single one of us will need. And it's found in Deuteronomy 6. One day, someone asked Jesus, what's the greatest law? What brings us together? What really is the beginning? And Jesus starts us off by quoting Deuteronomy 6. And let's read what He quotes out of Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5. Go. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Would you circle the words, the Lord is one? How do you move from belief or religion into the Lordship of Christ where it really takes effect in your life? Otherwise, we can have religious stuff of Christianity, but our country still is fractured, still is confusion, and still families are going downwards fast. Our prison system isn't strong enough to even keep up with those being incarcerated. Yet 80% say they believe in God. How do we move beyond belief into true lordship? So that's where the miracles and the differences really take place. How do we move? How do I know that the Lord is Lord and not just religion? Well, here, Jesus tips his hand and gives us some of the prerequisites so that this is when we know that Jesus is becoming Lord, not just religious or our belief, but he's really becoming Lord in reality. When is that? Number one, would you write down? You know that he is becoming Lord when he becomes the only way. Would you write that in? The only way. Not just one way, not an optional way, not even the first way, but the only way. That there is no other option. That there is only one way to date. One way in marriage. One way in our business. One way to building wealth. And that's God's way. Not that he's an option or a component added to our system of already wanting to do it this way. Or maybe a good option, but if it doesn't work and it's going to not get me there fast enough, I'll go this way. No, no. There's only one way. Well, okay, I'll put God first in my life. That's good, but no. He's got to be only, not just first. Huh? Yeah. You see, what if I was at the altar with my wife, Anna, just to be married? And I looked at her and I took a hold of her hands and with romance in my eyes, I say, honey, you're the first love of my life. Now Monica is second and Angela is third and Sarah is coming in on a close fourth, but you're first. You're first. Really, you're first. Well, how do you think that'll make her feel? Like, oh, I feel so wonderful. No, she'd probably slug me in the eye, wouldn't she? Yeah, and the same is true with God. He's not just our first love, he is our only. That there is no other way, because you figure there's going to be the world's way, there's going to be what's politically correct way, it's like my private life way, there's my space way, there's second life way, there's everybody is doing it this way, way, no way. There's only one way. There's no shortcuts, no side doors. And I know that Jesus is becoming Lord, not just belief, not just a religion, but he's becoming Lord in my life when I say, there is no other way. We get to do it this way. Oh, I might falter and fail and make mistakes, but I'm going to correct back because there's only one way. You say, but if you do it God's way, won't you just cut out all of the fun in life? Oh, no. You got to remember this. And the devil's going to try to lie to you. The devil's going to say to you that he's going to say, he is the source of all fun. And if you follow God, you won't have any fun. Guess who the one is that created fun and joy and happiness? It ain't the devil. The devil hasn't created a thing that he's going to lie to you and say to you that if you follow God, you won't have any fun. No, you won't be having any financial help because you'll have to be poor if you're a Christian. No, 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 no. Let's read what the scripture says in the very next verse here that we have. Proverbs 10, go. It is the blessings of the Lord that makes rich. And here's the addition. And he adds no sorrow to it. When God helps you to become a person who is fruitful and prosperous, he adds no regrets to it. Well, is there another way? Let's read the next scripture. Go. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who... Yeah. I tell you, whenever I've taken shortcuts or thought I'd do it my way, it always ended with regrets. I think the theme song of hell is, I did it my way. Now, there's only one way, God's way. Well, we think, well, my way is more thrilling. My way is I can get what I want faster. No, if it's not God's way, don't do it. Just don't do it because you'll end up with regrets. I don't see any regrets. You won't see it now because the devil will blind you today so he can nail you tomorrow. Mark my words. The best and safest, the most wonderful way is just there's only one way to do it. And when I say that's the only way I'm going to do it, I don't care. I'm going to do it that way because I know in the long run that's the best. When that is happening, you know that Jesus is becoming Lord and you're moving beyond belief into lordship. And that's what we want to talk about. Moving from religion, even a Christian religion, moving from belief, even a Christian belief, into lordship. Because that's when you enter what the Bible calls the kingdom of God. Because you can be a Christian, but never enter the kingdom of God. What? Yeah, that's right. You can be someone who says of the 80%, I believe in God, but never understand the benefits and the power of walking with Jesus who is Lord. So we'll take shortcuts. Because it's thrilling. I can get results faster. We all try that. It's called daredeviling. It's called risk-taking. And we know that that's not God's way. You know the, you know what the last words of the Portuguese is? Hey, watch this. Yeah, we try stuff and then we think, oh, why did it end in death? Because the wages of doing it, not God's way, another way, unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor, labor in vain. When is Jesus becoming Lord? When he is not just the first, but the only way. And then, number two, would you write down, I know that we're moving from belief into lordship. When I know that Jesus, here it is, when he has captured your heart. He's captured your heart. That I don't do what I do because I have to. But I love doing what I do because Jesus has captured my heart. Let me tell you how important that is. Over the years, I have seen many hands raised to make a decision for Christ. And that's wonderful. That's the beginning, but that's not the end. Because there's a big difference between making a decision for Christ and really walking with Jesus as Lord and being transformed and being born again, as it were, entering the kingdom of God. Because if you think about it, there's a lot of people, 80% of Americans have made a decision for God. In fact, 100% of Americans have made a decision for Christ. 80% said yes, 20% said no. They've all made a decision for Christ. Did you know that even the devil has made a decision for Christ? The devil says, yeah, he's the master of the universe. He's made a decision for Christ, but he hasn't changed. He doesn't walk with him as Lord. Did you know that there is not a devil in the universe that's an atheist? Not one. They've all made a decision for Christ. Well, it's important to make a positive decision for Christ instead of a negative because the atheists are in the world today. Even here, I was reading in Midweek Magazine, Bob Jones writes an article just decrying, demeaning the kids that were singing Jesus Loves Me at Kahala Mall. And he said, such brainwashing is going on by parents. And I read this article and I actually wrote a story, wrote a comment to Midweek saying, we don't need this kind of stuff in here. Honest, innocent, hardworking parents trying their best to instill faith and good works, to honor people and their parents, honor authority. And we instill that in our kids. And someone writes an article paid by Midweek to decry that, to go down on that, to defame that, to demean that. I thought, that's nuts. There's a lot of atheists around. But there's not a devil in the universe that's an atheist because they even know that Jesus is Lord. Now, do they follow him? That's where we have to make that decision. We can make a decision for Christ, but not go beyond that. We've got to move past that and say, we're going to walk with him as Lord. When does that happen? When I know that he's captured my heart. Let's read James 2:19 says, go. Do you still think it's enough just to believe that there is one God? Well, even the demons believe this and they tremble in terror. Yeah, you've got to make one more step. It's sort of like when you make a decision for Christ, it's like you can put on, as it were, the uniform of heaven, like a military. I belong to the army of God, as it were. But now the Lord says, now you must be willing to receive the commands of the master. And unlike the army of the world, where you will do the commands or you get court-martialed, in the army of God, you receive Christ, you, as it were, put on the uniform. But then the Lord says, it's up to you, your volition, whether or not you want to receive the commands that I've written here that'll ensure, that'll give you confidence that you have eternal life. And you can choose whether you want to come to get his commands or not. Because you see, you can put on the uniform, but never, never know his commands. Never submit to his commands. You're kidding. That's right. You can actually make up your own commands. You know why? Although that's wrong and terrible, the Lord is saying, I want your heart. I don't want you to be a robot. I don't want your actions. I want your heart. I want you to want to do what God wants you to do because he says, I don't want to create robots. I don't want, you know, to say, turn left, and you turn right, go forward. And that's useless. God can create robots, but he wants children who, because of the joy and the desire and the love of their heart, says, I want to walk with you as my Lord. Not just believe, but I want to walk with you. That's called a relationship with God through Christ. And that requires our hearts. And so you can have this uniform on, but never get any commands because it's an army of the heart. The Lord says, I want your heart to be willing. That's why he says, seek and you shall find. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door shall be open. It requires your heart to say, Lord, what are you saying about my family? What are you saying about my future? What are you saying about my life? And then when you seek him, then the Lord reveals to you his commands. And then you become a person willingly under his commands because you've sought his best. You say, but isn't that dangerous, Wayne? Couldn't you have the Christian title, Christian label, and not know his commands? Yeah, they're around. Because it's an army of the heart. But won't that confuse people on the outside? Yeah, it will. Can't you stray so far, even having a Christian label? Can't you stray so far that you go over the edge? Yeah. That's why the Bible says the wages of sin is death to a Christian and to a non-Christian. In fact, it's your volition, my choice that brings me into sin, not God's punishment. Sometimes we say, God punishes people for their sins. It's more like this, God punishes people? No. You know what punishes people? Sin. You're not punished for your sins, you're punished by your sins. God's desire is to bring you into a relationship with him, not to punish. So how are we we're punished not for, you're punished by. That's exactly what Jeremiah 5 says. Let's read what this next scripture says. Jeremiah 5:25. Would you read it? Go. Your iniquities have turned these away, and your sins have withheld good. Yeah, that's right. And that's why God wants your heart. You say, well, Wayne, if people have this Christian exterior, but they're straying with their lifestyle, can you tell the difference between those who really have Jesus as Lord and those who don't? Sure. There is a marked, distinct difference when you know that somebody's heart is in love with Christ. Even though two people look sort of the same, go to the same church, you can tell who is making Jesus Lord and who's making Jesus an added component to their stereo system. He's one picture among many versus the one who is the only picture, the only Lord, the one who's captured his heart, that you can tell. It's sort of like this. Just recently was Mother's Day. Let's say I brought some flowers like this, and I said, I kind of got to the door, and Anna opened the door, and I said, according to the duty of a husband, what I'm supposed to do, I am bringing you flowers on Mother's Day because it's supposed to be that way. Here you go. And I just go, get away from me. Versus someone who brings flowers to his wife because of a heart. Because they want to. Because they're in love. Because they want to show affection to their spouse or to their girlfriend. Huge difference between someone who's doing it out of duty and someone who's doing it out of heart. Marked difference. And Jesus is becoming Lord when we now do what we do because we want to do it. And his commands are there. And we say, I'd love to do it. People who say, oh, it's so hard to be a Christian. You know, there's laws that say, don't blow up your house when your family is in it. Don't throw, like, the hair dryer into the tub when your wife is taking a bath. Those kinds of things. There's laws like that. But you know what? I don't struggle with those laws. I don't go, you can't throw in the dryer when it's plugged in into the tub. Oh, no, honey, sorry, I cannot. I really want to, but I cannot because it's the law. I don't struggle with those laws. Why? Because I love my wife. It's like no big deal. And when God's laws become tough, I say, Lord, would you renew my love for you? Capture my heart again. Because his laws should not be difficult at all. 1 John says it this way, this is the love of God, that you obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. Why is it not burdensome? Because he's captured your heart. So the first is when Jesus becomes the only way. There's no other way. That's the only way. And the second is when he's captured your heart. But the third is, would you write down, you know he's becoming Lord and you're moving beyond belief into lordship. When it is he that determines your disposition in life. All about you. Your disposition. You see, you got to think about this. Who's Lord in your life is who's going to determine whether your day is a success or a failure. Who's going to determine your actions, your desires, the way you think. Who's going to determine your future for you. Who is Lord in your life is who determines your countenance, your words, the spirit with which you will speak your words. Who's going to control your day? That's Lord. Because you see, you can give lordship over to all kinds of people. You can, I mean, anybody can control your life. You've got to say, no, Jesus is Lord. In fact, let's read what it says here and you'll see. Go. No one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you see, your countenance, is it going to be up or down? You're going to cash it in or you're going to move forward? Who's going to control your desires, your life, your actions, your plans, whether your day's a success or not? It's got to be one person, not circumstances, because you don't know what's going to come up. But I know if Jesus is Lord, I'm not going to let that event become my Lord. I can't. Just some time ago, I was going down by the pulley, and this guy, I was changing lanes, and this guy came zipping up around me in the right lane and tried to scoot by me on the right-hand lane, and I could see him right on my bumper like this. So I pulled over, and at the same time, he pulled over and just missed my car as he came around. And I looked at him, and I honked at him, you know, and he looked at me and honked at me like, hey, what are you doing pulling in the right lane, you know? And so it's like, hey, you're at fault, not me. And this little Filipino guy in this junky sports car, I thought I could take him on. I could take him on. So I pulled up next to him, and I looked at him like this, and he looked at me like I thought, you little Filipino man, I'll take you on right now. But you know what I do? I kind of fast forward the tape. If I stopped the car and we got into a beef, I could see the next day's headlines. New Hope pastor beat to a pulp by this little Filipino man in junky sports car. So I thought, okay. And you know, for a moment, I almost let him control me to throw everything that I had of my faith and my belief out the window and allow him to control my actions, my thoughts, my disposition, my countenance, my future, the headlines and the Star Bulletin the next day, everything. I was giving lordship over to a person's bad driving skills. See, the first time I understood that was when Anna and I were in Bible college. We were renting this apartment, and to cut down on the rent, I was the apartment manager. We had to mow the grass. I had the pass key to all the apartments in case someone lost theirs. Well, my wife at the same time worked for a lock shop, and her auntie who owned the lock shop would give her samples of new kinds of locks that would come in. So she'd bring them home and say, honey, install this, try this. And so we had four locks on our doors. We had slide locks, chain locks, flip locks. And then we had locks, this is no kidding, on our cabinets, like kid locks and, you know, this kind of locks. We had them on our glass sliding door. We had several locks. The walls were locked, ceilings locked, even the toilet lid, I think, was locked. We had locks everywhere. Well, one day, we were running late. And I said, honey, we've got this dinner to go to. We're already late. And, you know, newlywed, she's putting on her, you know, makeup. She said, oh, I'm putting on my, I can't remember, her massacre. My massacre is on this eye. And I said, come on, let's go. She said, I got one more eye to do. I said, just put a patch on the other eye. Let's go. No, I got to put this massacre on. And so she's putting this thing on. And so finally, I'm saying, come on, come on, come on. So she runs down the stairs. We run out the door. I slam the door, and you can hear him going, click, 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 chick, chick, chick. So I get to the car and say, give me the keys. She says, I don't have the keys. I said, you're supposed to have the keys. You're the wife. Give me the keys. I don't have the keys. I said, search yourself. Search your purse. She looked through her purse. Nothing. Oh, no. I said, go get the manager. She said, we are the manager. No, no, you messed up twice now. I tried to get back into the door. Nothing short of a grenade would get us back into that thing. I was so mad. I was kicking the rock, kicking the tire, mad at her. I had to go all the way into town and humble myself at the office of this apartment office to get another key, come back, and I finally got our car keys. Now we're about 2 hours late. And I remember that night I was driving to this thing mad. And she says, honey, what? Don't talk to me. Don't talk to me. Look at me. Don't breathe. Look the other way. You know, and it was like our marriage came to a stop. We went to the dinner, came home. I said, you sleep in the dryer, washing machine. I don't care. And everything went down flat. And I remember just walking, just pacing that night, kicking stuff. Kicking. Oh, man, so mad. And I said, Lord, that woman you gave me, mistake. Then the Lord spoke to me and said, Wayne, who's your Lord? I just remember it so clearly. I said, you are. He said, no, you see, because you may believe in me, but who's Lord in your life is who determines your day, whether it's going to be a success or not. Who's Lord in your life can control you by having you throw away everything you've believed in, everything you've learned, throw away your faith, throw away your commitment to your wife, throw away your future that fast. That's who's Lord in your life. That one controls everything. You can believe whatever, but who's Lord? I said, you are. No, think again. What caused your whole life to turn around and throw everything out? I thought about it and I thought, that key, a lost key, changed everything. I was about to throw it all away for one lost key. I said, yeah, you gave Lord, you can believe in me, but you gave lordship to the key. And one lost key, you're willing to throw everything away. One person's immature driving habits or anger on the road, you're willing to toss everything away. You're giving lordship over to whoever. That's why I said no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. It's time we move beyond belief and into lordship. Because belief alone will not sustain you for what you're going to be facing tomorrow. But if you say, wait a minute, Jesus is the only one that's going to determine my countenance, my faith, my future, my actions, and my plans. Jesus is Lord. And when that happens, your life becomes one of confidence. And you can say with Job, I've got such a confidence, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Because I know he wants my best. And then you begin to move with such confidence. Folks, listen, you don't know what tomorrow brings. But God is going to prepare you for that today. Because when your tomorrows become your now, you need to have the faith set in place. Not just belief in God. But when you say, he's not just an option, he's not an added component, he's the only way. There's no other option. I will do things his way. And he's captured my heart. So it's not something I have to discipline myself to do. I really want to do it his way. And then you say, and Jesus is going to be my Lord. Not other people's maturities, not setbacks, because you're going to have a lot of lost keys in your life, a lot of setbacks, a lot of crazy drivers. It might be the person sitting next to you, but you're going to have all kinds of crazy things happen. You're going to have mistakes, people's immaturities that will foil your plans, broken expectations. Are all of those Lords that are pictures on your mantle? There's going to be just one. His name is Jesus. And whatever comes your way, when your tomorrow becomes your now, you will find that he has plenty of strength to carry you through because he is Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for giving Jesus to us as Lord, not just as a belief or as a religion. And when you are Lord in our lives, Lord, we know that we'll be facing stuff in the future. Just like Brandon and Kay Howe. They had no idea what was taking place. And if you're just a religion to us, we'll fail utterly. But when you become Lord, we'll trust and depend on you. So thank you for preparing us for tomorrow. Thank you for giving us the grace. Thank you for giving us the strength. Thank you for capturing our hearts. And we choose to have you as the only way. So that when our tomorrow becomes our now, we'll be able to walk with confidence because Jesus is our Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
There was a time I packed my dreams away.
living in a shell, hiding from myself. There was a time that I was so afraid. I thought I'd reach the end. Maybe that was then. But I am made of more than
stand, please. By the way, that was a song that was the winner of the American Idol, and I think we sing it a whole bunch better, but I think so. What do you think? Would you say thank you to Tiffany and Kanoe? Tremendous. And we also want to welcome back a couple of our people. Chris Sanders on the piano is back. And Clint Torres is back from college. And Timmy's on the drums. Ah. Outstanding. I knew you were good, but not this good. Wow, just great having them all back. Well, let Jesus be Lord. Move beyond belief into saying, Lord, you're the only way. There's one way. That's it. But I don't do it because there's no other way. I do it because you've captured my heart. And Lord, be Lord. I won't let anything else control my day, my words, my minds, my disposition. You and you alone. When that happens, you know that Jesus is becoming Lord. That's where we want him to be. That's on the throne. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me. And we're going to pray. We're going to pray for Caleb. And we're also going to pray that God use us in tremendous ways. Don't forget, you can pick up a bracelet outside as you go out. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this wonderful family. We do pause and pray for Caleb. We ask that you would heal him in Jesus' name, that you will increase brain activity and his organs will begin to increase in their strength, their dependability. Lord, I pray that you will give him a future and a hope. Lord, we ask that you'd continue to infuse health into that body and into that brain, into his soul. Breathe into him life, oh Jesus. We as a church pray together for that. And as we as a church with the spirit of Aloha reach into our communities, help it to start in our hearts so that your compassion overflows into those around us. That we're like a full glass of water in a crowded room. When people bump us, we just spill over your love. May it be so, Father, as we go from this place. For the most important part of this service is when we leave those doors. Be Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank the Lord with another clap offering, would you?